Okay. Good morning, boys. Who can think of one person we could pray for? Is it somebody?
Joe
Lopez. Anybody else?
Brian and Owen.
Brian and Owen.
Brian and Erica.
Brian and Erica. Anybody else? Okay, well, let's pray. Lord, we just come before you and we just ask that your will be done. Lord, we just pray for these people, these friends and family of ours and our loved ones, brothers and sisters. God, we just pray that you just be with them. Lord, be their guide. Encourage them. Lead them in your way. Father, protect them from the enemy. And we just pray that you would lead us and guide us this morning and help us to get focused on your kingdom today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay. Well, we're going to do Psalm 38 today. That's what it is in the Septuagint, but in the other Bibles, it's Psalm 39. This is a psalm written by King David. Okay, and this is what King David said. He said, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I set a guard on my mouth when the sinner stood against me. David was talking about not answering evil with evil, and he was careful with the words that came out of his mouth. And I think that's something that I need to do a lot more, is to just be careful with the words that come out of my mouth so that I don't sin with my tongue. There's good things that could come out of our mouth, and then there's bad things. We all know that. And sometimes when it's the hardest is when somebody is doing something wrong to you, or says something wrong to you. And so that's when it's a real challenge not to say something evil back to them. That's hard sometimes. But that's when we need to be very careful not to let someone else give us an excuse to sin against them, because then we're just the same. We're just as guilty as they are. Anyway, so be on guard for that. It says, he said, I set a guard in my mouth when the sinner stood against me. He says, I was deadened and humbled, and I kept silent, even from good. And my grief was stirred anew. Then David says, my heart was hot within me, and in my meditation fire will be kindled. I spoke with my tongue. This is what David said. He said this to the Lord. He said, O Lord, make me to know my end. Or let me know about when I'm going to die. He says, make me to know my end. And what is the measure of my days? So as to know what I lack. Behold, you made my days as a handbreadth, which is not that long. And my existence is nothing before you. But all things are vanity, even man living. And so David is acknowledging, he's saying, he's realizing that he's going to die sometime, maybe soon. And his life is going to be over. And he's just praying to the Lord about that, I guess. And just understanding that his existence is just going to be over, just like that. And he says it's all things are just sort of empty. makes me think of myself and people that we think that our lives are something big and something special. We just think a lot about ourselves sometimes. But if you look at the big picture of the world and how many people there are on this world, how many people that God has created, and how many years have gone by, and how big God is, that our life is just going to be over so fast. And we all know people that have died, and we all know that one day we're going to die, and we're going to come before God. And so I just think one thing to learn from this is that life goes by real fast. We don't know when it's going to be over. And the thing I think about a lot is that this life is our only chance that we have to live for God. This is our chance. We have a chance. We've been given an opportunity to live good lives. And we don't want to waste that chance that we have been given from God, a gift from God, to do good. And we just don't want to waste that. I think sometimes some people, they maybe just sit on their hands and just don't even try. But this is our only chance to just be good, to follow God, and to be His servant. And so we don't want to waste that. We don't want our life to just be for selfish reasons or anything like that. Nevertheless, man walks about like a phantom. Surely in vain they stir themselves up. He stores up treasure, but he does not know for whom he will gather it. I think that's just talking about just the same thing, that if your people get all worked up about all sorts of things that are just really meaningless, just people have dramatic things happen in their life, and they get all concerned about those things, and just lose focus, or put their focus on something lesser, and then putting their focus on just following God. And then he says, "And now what is my patience? Is it not the Lord? And my support is from you, God." His support, he's saying, his support is from God. Then he prays, he says, "Deliver me from all my sins, all my transgressions." He's like, "God, help me, deliver me from my sins." He says, "You made me a reproach to the undiscerning." Basically saying that David, I guess, had a time in his life where he became just a reproach in people's eyes. People that didn't understand. He just became a reproach. I think Jesus was the same way. When Jesus, who was the Son of God, come to earth, the maker of the universe is on earth, and he's hanging on a cross, and people are mocking him. And they, because they don't understand. They don't understand what's going on, and they're just saying, "How, what a pitiful, this is a king of the Jews, this is the Son of God. Look at him, he's just a man." And when people don't understand, it's hard to see. And Jesus prayed and said, "Forgive them, Father, because they don't know what they're doing." But King David, he was saying something like that. He was saying, "You made me a reproach to the undiscerning or the unwise. I was dumb and opened not my mouth, for you are he who made me. Take away your scourges from me, God. Because of the strength of your hand, I fainted. With rebukes, you chasten a man for his transgression. And you cause a soul to waste away like a spider web. But every man stirs himself up in vain." He's saying that sometimes God will chasten us, allow us to go through some things, you know, for whatever reason. But we also know that the Bible says a father who doesn't chasten his child doesn't love his child. And it's for their good. And that's one thing we need to understand about God, if He allows us to go through some things that are hard, that He understands all things. He knows what's best for us. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my supplication. Do not be silent at my tears, God, for I am a sojourner before you and a stranger, as were all my fathers. Do not forsake me, God, that I may revive before I depart and am no longer here. I think David maybe wanted to just be a good servant before he died and was not alive anymore. Didn't want to waste his chance, maybe. And so let's not waste our chance that we have. Okay. I guess your assignment was what? What was your assignment? Roger.
Right.
Good and perfect gift. Okay. Why don't we just start with you, Roger? You take a turn, then we'll just go this way.
I think the one perfect gift is privilege to feed animals and learn a responsibility. Another good gift is that we can that we have the privilege to serve God when things don't go real easy.
One time, Melanie gave me a piece of candy, and I thought.
I'm glad a good and perfect gift is that I have parents to teach me good from bad.
I think a perfect gift is trials, because in the Bible it says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and that endurance has its perfect results, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing.
God gave me a roof over my head.
I'm glad God healed my arm.
Okay, do the young men have anything from...
My thought about it is that God gives us everything that He takes the best for us.
Just about the good and perfect gift. Maybe sometimes we don't even realize that it is a good and perfect gift until maybe years later we realize that maybe a situation was a good gift when at the time we thought it wasn't. My thought was the Father of Lights. There were several verses, references that talked about the Father of Wisdom, and so that's maybe a good and perfect gift of wisdom from God. I just thought about it, you know, where it says that there is variation or turning or shadow, you know, that's something you can always bank on. God's the same as He was. He's not going to change, even with all the things that are going on. That's one thing you can look to. He's still the same.
I had that. Every good thing comes from above. And earlier in the chapter it says, God Himself cannot tempt, or God Himself does not tempt anyone. God gives us every good thing, but sometimes He allows trials to happen, so we appreciate the good things even more.
I just said, Him is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You just can rely on God. He'll be faithful no matter what.
I got about it. Where there's no variableness, the shadow of turning. And He's just always been the same since creation. And He always wanted people to obey Him. And always.
Oh, I just thought of it. I read the verse, and I thought of Hebrews, where it talked about he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And I just thought about how a lot of times, and it says, don't be deceived, every good gift comes from God. And I thought about how I'm so easily deceived, and just thinking that God's some evil guy up there.
Oh, mine was where it says, the Father of Light, in 1 John 1, verse 5, it says, this then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And in John 12:36, it says, while ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. So we should be the children of light. And, yeah.
Just in the verse it says, every good gift comes from God, just not fall in good luck and get it just God gave you.
I thought of that. Jesus was our perfect gift that the Father of Light gave us.
Okay, boys, once you find verses, just a verse on how you guys are supposed to live, or how a godly person is supposed to live. Something that they're supposed to do that's pretty important to God. Okay, once y'all find a verse like that for next week. And then, for the young men, maybe think about something that you might need to work on in yourself. It could be one or two things, but just something that you plan to work on. That's something you want to put into action, but look, anyway.